and turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm still getting used to my new Bible, so bear with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and starting in verse number 9. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. God has set forth us the apostles last. The title of the message this morning is Apostolic Letters. Apostolic Letters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the safety you've given to each one coming here today. Father, I pray that you bless each one for being here. Pray that you bless this message now as I preach it. Lord, give me the words to say. Pray, Lord, that it would be a blessing to each one here. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their Savior, help them, Lord, to understand that they need to be saved. They need their sins to be washed away. Father, I pray that you would encourage your saints here this morning. Challenge us by your word. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The early Christians did not have the blessing and benefit of holding up the Word of God, of holding the complete Word of God in their hands. We can, every morning when we wake up, we can pick up our own Bible. Each one of us probably has our own Bible. I hope you do. Tomorrow on Monday, we can wake up, pick up our Bible off of our nightstand, and read the Word of God. And we can read anywhere in the complete, entire Word of God. But the early Christians just didn't have the entire New Testament yet. It was still being written. An entire church would consider themselves blessed if they had 5 or 6 books of the New Testament, let alone all 27 books of the New Testament. And because of this lack of knowledge and foundation of the Christian faith, God gave the early church the special group of men called the apostles. And it was a one-time thing. There's no apostles left today. They died off when the Apostle John died, and the apostolic authority that we know about from Scripture died with John. But to the apostles, God gave special authority, special responsibility, and knowledge, and special abilities. And he gave these things to his apostles until they died. But God made sure that his Scriptures were finished by the time John died. John wrote the last book of the Bible. And so when John died, all of Scripture had been completed. So when the apostolic authority and all the gifts and abilities of the apostles died, the Scriptures were finished and they had begun to be copied and they had begun to be dispersed throughout all the churches. And we can see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 through 16, we can see the apostolic authority alluded to by Paul. As we see that, for I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians now, and let's see another couple of verses that refer to the apostolic authority. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. And verse 28, Paul again says, beside those things that are without, the pressures upon him that are without, the persecution, that which cometh upon me daily the care of all the churches. One of the special responsibilities of the apostles was the care of all the churches. Pastor Bond has the care of this church, but Pastor Bond isn't an apostle. The apostles had the care of all the churches. They were the overseers of all the churches until God's word was complete, until God's word was finished. And then the pastors could take the word of God and apply all the word of God to their church. And then the apostolic authority did not need to be there anymore. But that was one of the special responsibilities that the apostles had, to care for all the churches. Now look at chapter 13 and verse 10 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 13 and verse 10. He says, "Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction." He's talking about the authority that he had to correct this Corinthian church because of his apostleship. He had the authority, even though there was a bishop in the Corinthian church, even though there was a pastor, the Apostle Paul had the authority given by God to correct the Corinthian church. Now, God used the 12 apostles to write nearly all of the New Testament, with the exception of the books of Mark, Luke, Acts, and James, and possibly Hebrews. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. The books that they wrote were mostly letters, apostolic letters, okay? And they were known as epistles. They were written to churches or groups of people, and some of them were written specifically to individuals. All of these apostolic letters that are found in the New Testament were divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. The apostolic letters that were written to complete churches or groups of churches were the books of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and John wrote the book of Revelation to the seven churches which are in Asia. And then the apostolic personal letters are 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, 2nd and 3rd John, and then the ones that were written to other groups of people besides churches or individuals. Hebrews was written to the 12 tribes of Israel. 1 Peter was written to the scattered Jewish believers all over the known world. And then 2 Peter, 1 John, and Jude were written to all believers. Now, I wonder what it was like. I've often wondered this, but I wonder what it was like to receive a letter to your church, to my church, from one of the apostles. I wonder what it would have been like being a member of Philippi and getting a letter to your church from one of the apostles, from the Apostle Paul, for instance. Imagine being in that Philippian church and getting a letter from the Apostle Paul and getting high praise from the Apostle Paul, like Philippi did in the book of Philippians. That would have been really neat. But then again, imagine being the Corinthian church and getting a letter from the Apostle Paul and thinking, oh boy, and then starting to read it and, oh no, and reading all these rebukes to you and to your church and realizing that we haven't been nearly as good as we thought we were. Not only that, but this letter that we're reading to ourselves from the Apostle Paul is inspired by God, and this is what God himself thinks of me and my church. Ouch. And then when they realize that this was holy writ, inspired by God, and they realize that this was going to be set in stone for all time, wonder what it felt like to realize that all Christians for all time are going to read this story about my church, the Corinthian church, and read all of the failures and all of the rebukes in my church. That wouldn't be very funny. But it would be really neat to get a letter from one of the apostles, one of those apostolic letters. And So as I thought about this, I wondered if our church was to receive a letter from one of the apostles, what would it say? If Beaver Falls Baptist Church got a letter from the Apostle Paul or the Apostle John or any of the other apostles, what would be in that letter? Would it praise our church and have good things to say about our church? As Pastor Bond brought this letter up here and began to read it from one of the apostles, would we be greatly pleased and encouraged by what the apostles had to say about our church? Would it praise our church as some of the other letters praised the biblical churches, such as Philippi? But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Would we get a letter encouraging us like that? Boy, that would be great. Or to the church in Smyrna. I'm sorry. I forget the first one in Revelation. Anyway, the first Ephesus, thank you. The church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation got some praise. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for not my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. That's praise directly from Jesus to the church at Ephesus. And then Smyrna, I know thy works. Behold, I'm sorry, this is Philadelphia. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Would our letter read like that? A letter to Beaver Falls Baptist Church. Boy, I hope it would. I pray it would. That would be really neat if it did. Or would a letter to our church, on the other hand, be one of rebuke, as many of the churches, in fact, almost all of the churches, got some rebuke in the letters that they received. In Revelation 2, against Ephesus, God said, Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Could God say that about our church? Thou hast left thy first love. Or to this other church, But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Or this one, Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants. Or this one, to Ephesus, I better go to Revelation so I can tell you which ones these are. I didn't write down, I just have the chapter and verse, not the actual church name. I'm sorry. Sardis. To the church at Sardis. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Would our letter look like that? I know thy works, to the church at Laodicea, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The church at Galatia, the churches of Galatia received this rebuke. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Boy, I hope that couldn't be said of our church. Or the Corinthian church again. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. I pray that nothing like that ever happens in our church either. But what would the Holy Spirit say to our church? Think about it. Of all the things that you know about our church, would he praise our church? Or would he have some rebukes to give to our church? Are we pleasing to our Savior? And I'm not here today to slam our church or anything like that. I'm putting a bug in your mind. I want you to think about it. God sent a message and wrote it on the palace wall of Belshazzar. Meni, meni, tekel, upharsin. You have been weighed in the balances and have been found wanting. It was one of the meetings. And we are being weighed. Our church is being recorded. The actions of our church is being recorded. God is keeping a record. One day, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, will we be found wanting? You know, the Holy Spirit has written Ichabod over many a church door who has turned away from the truth of the gospel. The glory of the Lord is departed. May that never happen here. What would a letter to our church read? What would be contained in that letter? And secondly, the apostles wrote letters to individuals. What would a letter to you personally look like? What would a letter to me personally say? Think about that. What if you or I received a letter directly from one of the apostles? And of course, it would have been from the ear of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would have led them to write a letter to us. What would the Holy Spirit have said about you or I? What would he think about our personal lives? Would he have words of encouragement? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence you have obeyed. Would that be the kind of words found in a personal message to you and I? Or would he have, again, words of rebuke? For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Ye are puffed up. Could that be said of you or I? You're proud, Derek. You need to crucify that pride. Kill that pride in your life. Get it out of your life. Or could the Holy Spirit say this about you or I? Your glorying is not good. You're glorying about something, Derek. You don't deserve to be glorying about anything. I gave you everything. You don't have anything to glory over. Or could this one be said of you or I? For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Do we seek our own? Do we neglect the things which are our masters, our saviors? Or if you or I had been the master of Onesimus instead of Philemon, if Paul had written the book of Philemon to me or to you, would it read differently? Would the apostle have been obliged to use a more direct approach? He was really sweet with Philemon. If you want to read the book of Philemon later at home, he used sweet arguments that Philemon should forgive Onesimus. But if I had been Onesimus's master, would Paul have been forced to be stricter and sterner and more direct with me. Derek, I command you by the will of God that you forgive Onesimus. Do it. Or could he have written the same thing to me or to you? What would a letter to you or I look like from one of the apostles? The truth is, we have received a letter, haven't we? We have received a letter from the Lord Jesus. It's the whole book, the whole Bible. When you read your Bible, personalize it. Put your name in there. Apply it to you, to me, personally. It was written to you. Take a look. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Please go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Admonition means gentle reproof. It means counseling against a fault. It means instruction in duties. In other words, commands, giving you commands, giving myself commands. It means caution. It means direction. We've been given these things written in our scriptures for our admonition, our instruction of duty, our caution, our direction, our counseling, our reproof. And notice the last phrase, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Do you realize that that verse applies more to you and me than it did to the recipients of 1 Corinthians? Because we are the ones at the end of the world. 1 Corinthians, that was 2,000 years ago. We are the ones upon whom the ends of the world are come. That verse applies to you and me more than to who it was written to 2,000 years ago. The whole scripture is written directly to us. It applies to you and I. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15:4, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. This is our letter. When it gives instruction, it's instructing you and I. When it gives cautions, it's cautioning you and I. When it gives rebuke, it's rebuking that sin in our life. We have received a letter. And then turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5, 13 through 20. I want you to notice and look at the generational gap closing pronouns. The words and phrases that close the distance between the ones who John the Apostle sent this letter to, and you and I. The difference between them and you and I. Notice he closes the gap of the 2,000 years. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. You and I qualify, don't we? That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man, that still qualifies you and I, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Do you see ourselves in there, folks? Do you see you and I part of who he was writing to? We have received this letter. It's to you and I. It's to all Christians of all time. It's to all people. We have received a letter. But let's go back to that fictional letter for a second. What kind of letter would the Apostle Paul have written to you and I? Regardless of the kind of letter that we might receive, whether it was one of praise or one of rebuke, the Holy Spirit would tell us one thing. He would tell us, go on. Go on. No matter where you are, no matter if you're in sin, or no matter if you're doing pretty well, spiritually speaking, no matter if you're serving the Lord, he would say this, go on. It doesn't matter if you're one of the spiritual giants in your church, there's still room for improvement. There's still the Lord Jesus as the standard, and we are not there. No one is there. No matter who he is speaking to, no matter what situation of spiritual life you and I are in, he would say this to us, to each one of us, go on. Hebrews 6:1. Turn there. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Go on. Move forward spiritually. Draw closer to Jesus. You're not there yet. Go on. That's what the Holy Spirit would tell each one of us in a letter to us. You know, even the best of the churches that were sent a letter in the Bible, even the best of them, Philippi, the church at Philadelphia, Smyrna, the best of them were never told, you're doing great, keep it up, I don't need to tell you anything. They weren't told that. Philippi was told, beware, stand fast, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. That's what the good church of Philippi was told. They weren't told, you're doing fine, just keep doing the same thing. No, he had some warnings for them. He had some instruction. Smyrna was told, be faithful. Be faithful. Philadelphia was told, thou hast a little strength. A little strength. It's not very big. It's not very much. You have a little bit of strength. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Your little strength could be taken from you. Hold it fast. Don't let another man take your crown. Go on. God would tell us in a letter to each one of us personally, God would tell our church, go on unto perfection. You're not there. You're not at the mark of Jesus Christ. You're not at his standard. Go on. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I read this chapter in my devotions, and this part about the apostles was what stood out to me, and I personalized it as I read it. We are fools for Christ's sake. The Apostle Paul is speaking about the apostles. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye, Derek, all the Christians in the churches, ye are wise in Christ. We, the apostles, are weak, but ye, Christian believers, are strong. Ye are honorable, Christians, but we, the apostles, are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I personalize it, but let's look at verse 7. If we personalize verse 7 and apply it to ourselves, what a convicting thought. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Apply that verse to our church. What does our church have that the Lord Jesus didn't give us? Nothing. Our church doesn't have anything that the Lord Jesus didn't give us. The rest of the verse. Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? If it was given to you, why are you glorying as if it was something that was embedded in you, embedded in our church? It was part of our church. Why are we glorying in something that God gave to us? It's a gift from God. Praise His name, but don't glory about it. And what about applying that verse to not only to our church, but to our individual life? Derek, what have you received that was not given to you? Nothing. I don't have anything that wasn't given to me by the Lord. God gave me everything. God gave me my family. God gave me my vehicles. God gave me my church. God gave me salvation. God gave me life. God gave me everything. Why should I glory in anything that I have? It was given to me. He could take it away. It belongs to Him. Why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Apply Scripture to yourself as you read it. That's when it speaks to you. You see, our church as a whole collective unit, and each one of us personally, each one of us individually, we all have things that we need to work on. What are they? What would the Apostle Paul have written to our church? What would the Apostle Paul have written to you, to me, if he had sent us a personal letter? The Holy Spirit would have written that letter through the Apostle Paul. What would the Holy Spirit, God Himself, have said about you and I? What would God Himself have said about our church? What does our church need to work on? What do I need to work on? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message. Lord, forgive me where I failed you. Help me, Father, to be a vessel that is fit for your use. Father, I pray that you bless each one. Lord, help each one of us to examine our own lives, to see where we have failed you, to see where we need to work on some things. Father, I pray that each one of us would do that. Bless the invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand.